Right, so we are carrying on with our Encountered series, looking at what the disciples encountered from the resurrection right through to the day of Pentecost. Liz is speaking next week. You do not want to miss next Sunday, okay? I am gutted. When I put this series together, I did not realize I would not be here for next Sunday. A, I wanted to preach, and B, we're looking at the Holy Spirit. And it's just going to be a powerhouse day, so make sure that you're here. But I want to look this morning, we're going to start to look at Acts chapter 2 a little bit, and I'm going to be flitting between the beginning of Acts and a chapter in Ephesians chapter 4 for this morning. So we're going to start in Acts 2, and we're going to read the first four verses. This was the beginning of the church. The beginning of this thing that we love, the beginning of this thing that has brought us joy and hope, that teaches us, that empowers us, that enables us. This is where it all began. And it says this, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard a sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house. From out of the heavenly realm, the roar of the wind was so overpowering that it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit, and they were inspired to speak in other tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages that they had never learned. The bit of this kind of thing that I want to look at this morning is simply this, that they were all together in one place. This morning I want to look at the fact that before the disciples could do anything, they had to come back together. There was a unity in them, okay, that there may never have been before. And I don't know if there's ever been anything like it since, but they came together in one place. The disciples had been scattered since the death and resurrection of Jesus, and now they were told to come back together and stay in one place and wait for the promised Holy Spirit. I don't know if you know what it is like to be scattered from people that you have been together with. I kind of was thinking about this, and I went back 22 years. The first time we took our youth, or maybe the second time, we took our youth to camp. And there were about 25 of us, and we went to this camp. And on one of the days, you could go and do some different activities. And so we kind of, our youth were kind of divided into two groups. And half of us went quad biking, and the other half went jet skiing. Okay, and it was all in the same place, and it was absolutely fantastic. And so I'd gone on the quad bike first, managed not to fall off. Wouldn't do it today because I would be in hospital for a lot more than what I'm going in for on Wednesday. And so we'd been on the quad bikes, and there was one person left to go on the quad bike. It wasn't Liz, before I tell this story, okay? I know that sometimes she does mad things, but this wasn't her. And so we'd been instructed how to use said quad bike. And if you're struggling a bit, pull this lever and the whole thing will stop and it will all be okay. And so this person got on the quad bike and they began to just gently, and we were all going, go faster, go faster. We were going a little bit slow. They were like, I would be now if I went on it, okay? And so all of a sudden, they started going really, really fast on this quad bike. And we were all sat down in the middle of this field. And there were a few bumps in this field. And we were all kind of sat there as a group together. And all of a sudden, we looked as this person on the quad bike was getting a little out of control, okay? And they kind of came over this bump, left the floor, and kind of, you know, did this kind of massive jump, and all of a sudden landed back on the grass. And as we looked and they were getting closer, we all of a sudden realized they're not going to stop. And what happened was, literally, there was us and there was about 15 sheep in the field, okay? And we all got up onto our feet and we scattered. Literally, we ran in every direction going as the quad bike hurtled in. And if we hadn't have moved, there would have been some serious injury. As the quad bike hurtled into where we were, and we're going, just jump off. And this kid's like, don't know what I'm doing. Like, just jump off. And all of a sudden, they got the lever that they were meant to pull in the first instance, and they pulled it. The whole thing stopped, and everyone was safe. Or so we thought. So we left the quad biking field and we went to the jet skiing place. And so we were just waiting around those on the jet skis to finish. And one of our leaders went last. And you've been told that if you kind of go around a corner too fast for a little while, the quad bike actually locks. So one of our leaders, trying to be a little bit all that down with the youth and everything, was kind of coming around this corner on the jet ski. And we were all stood on the wood bit, okay? And they were meant to park the jet ski nice and neatly. And this kind of wood bit had a bit in the middle of it that was just full of water and mud and all of that kind of stuff. So we were all stood around watching, cheering, and they were kind of coming in and came in a bit too quick. And so the quad bike locked. And so all of a sudden, we had just scattered from the quad bike, and all of a sudden the jet ski locked, and they couldn't turn it at all, and they were going at some speed. And all of a sudden, we realized, if we do not move, we are going to be plowed down by said jet ski. And so all of a sudden, I just went, run! And we just all scattered in different directions, and the person on the jet ski could not stop said jet ski, and so kind of came and went over the wooden bit, and literally it was like something out of a cartoon. You know those bits in the cartoon where the cartoon character runs off the cliff, everything freezes, and then they just drop? It was like that. So the jet ski kind of came up out of the water across the wooden bit. Literally, it felt like it stopped in midair and then it just fell down. And it fell in the water in the middle of the wooden bit that we were all stood on. But all of a sudden, we had to scatter. We had to go. If we didn't leave, there would have been injury. And I don't know about you, but sometimes life comes and hijacks me. Sometimes life comes in and it hijacks us and we scatter for a while. But in this part of the Bible, Jesus brought everyone back together. And before they could seriously encounter the Holy Spirit, they had to encounter unity. And I want to talk to us this morning about the fact that we need to encounter unity. Other versions of the Bible in Acts 2 say that they came together with one accord or with one mind. With one heart, with one purpose. They came together. It signifies more than just being in the same place at the same time. They made a choice to come and do something with everybody else. And I want to talk to us this morning about the choices we make and how they will affect how we are with God, how they will affect how we are as a local church, and how they will affect the impact that we have on the community that God has put us in. So what is this kind of unity that I'm talking about? We're going to flip over into Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read the first 6 verses to us. Ephesians chapter 4, and verses 1 to 6. It says this is Paul writing to a church in Ephesus. This is a church plant, and he is writing them a letter, and he writes this: "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." I want to put to us this morning that the unity that is talked of in Scripture is more than just having the same opinion as someone. It's more than just agreeing or agreeing to disagree. Ever had those moments where you go, well, agree to disagree, you walk away and under your breath you're kind of going, but I'm right. Anyone ever do that? Anyone not said yes there? We just need to have a bit of a pastoral chat before I go and leave about the fact that we lie, okay? And we go, we'll agree to disagree, and as we go, but I'm right. And we still maintain, but I'm right. Unity is not just about agreeing with someone. It's more than that. It's more than just merely agreeing or disagreeing with someone. Unity of the Spirit, as talked of in Ephesians 4, is a unity that is formed by the Spirit of God and maintained by the Spirit of God. It's not something that we conjure up ourselves. It's not something that we decide, I'm going to agree with that person, therefore I'm going to be unified to them. Unity is actually a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual thing that if we don't have the Spirit of God living inside us, we are going to find very hard to perform this. We're going to find it very hard to be unified. It begins with the Spirit of God and it is maintained through the Spirit of God at work in us. Unity is not just, I agree with math, so we are unified. Unity is not just, you know what, we're not quite agreeing, but I'll bow the knee and I'll submit to it. That's not unity. Unity is something that the Spirit of God starts in us and works on in us. It's a spiritual thing. It's not just a natural thing. And as we mature in our faith, as we maintain a fullness in the Holy Spirit, so we can become unified with one another. Yeah. I want to put this to you. It is impossible to be in unity with someone else and not be full of the Holy Spirit, because you can only maintain it for so long. And those of you who've been married a long time, you'll be able to tell us stories about that, I am sure. Okay, and you start out the married life and we're not going to be like everyone else. Anyone ever said that? You know, all of those older couples that talk about bickering and all that, it's not going to be us. We're going to be loved up the whole of our lives. Okay, it doesn't always work like that. And actually, even in a relationship like a marriage, you need God's help to stay unified to the person that you're married to. Because actually, if you look in the world today, we see so often where it goes wrong. And I'm not just talking about in the world, I'm talking about in Christians as well. But as we mature, and that is a key word, we need to be people who mature in our faith so we will become unified with those that God has put us with. Do you know what? We have turned unity in the church into mere agreement. But actually, we become unified through Jesus, not through our opinion. I can have a different opinion to this man and I can still be unified with him. We can have different opinions, we can have different styles, we can do things differently and still maintain a unity in God. And it's that unity that I'm talking about today, because it's that unity that will compel us to change a community that we live in. Yeah. It is a grace from God's Spirit, which is why it fails when we try to do it alone. Further on in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through to 13, it says this: so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Unity and maturity go hand in hand. Toddlers are not very good at unity. I don't know if you've noticed that. James very much is noticing that, okay? Then they're not into unity with adults. They're not into unity with each other. If you watch Josiah and Benny, I love watching these two boys navigate their friendship. It's absolutely hilarious. But if one of them has something that the other one wants, the one who doesn't have it isn't going to go, do you know what? I'm just going to be mature about this, and because I am united to you, Benny, in love, I am not going to go after the thing that you have got that I really want. Okay, toddlers don't do that. They don't. They see something, they want something, they must have something, they go and they grab it, and it doesn't matter the fallout that occurs because of that. Same with children. I have an 8 and a now 10-year-old. They don't naturally want to share everything with each other. They don't naturally want to be united. You know, let's be united and play this game of Minecraft together and not annoy one another and not kind of, you know, go after one another. They don't, because they're children. But actually, when we become mature, that should change. I've been an adult a while. It doesn't always, does it? Let's be absolutely honest. Sometimes we revert. And sometimes we want our own way. And I'm not just talking about unity of having your own way or getting what you want. I'm talking about a unity that loves people A unity that comes together with people, whether we're in agreement or disagreement. A unity that is born of God and not of us. A unity where when we come together as church, we're coming with one heart and with one purpose. We are together because we realize that when we're together, God can do more through us together than he can do when we're just an individual stood on our own. Do you know what? We have to decide sometimes to stay the course and change and allow God's spirit to mature us. And sometimes within this, our opinion will change. Sometimes within this, our opinion will alter and will mature with us as well. But I want to say to you this morning that when we're scattered, when we're on our own, we can't do much. But when we're unified, we can do everything and more that God has asked us to do. When the disciples had scattered and they dealt with their stuff, one of the disciples had denied Jesus and he had to deal with that. One of the disciples had doubted the resurrection and he had to deal with that. They all had stuff that they had to deal with. When they had dealt with it, two things happened when they came back together. The first thing was they were commissioned. Jesus said, you'll receive power and the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. Jesus commissioned them. And the second thing, they were empowered. They were commissioned and they were empowered when they came together and when they dwelt together in unity, those two things happened. And you know what? These two things can happen when we come together as well. You know, when we come together and when we're together like this on a Sunday morning, there should be a commissioning into the week ahead. There should be a time where we realize, actually, God, this is my week and you're commissioning me to go. You know, as I kind of stood here this morning and we were singing that song, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. You cast out fear. You silence it. And the week that I'm going, do you know what? That commissioned me into my week. That commissioned any anxiety in me and any, I don't have tons of it, but if there is any, God, actually, I'm commissioned to go into my week and fear you will be silenced. And secondly, we should be empowered for the week ahead, for the things that we're going through, for the things that we're facing. When we come together in unity, one accord, one heart, one mind, when we come together like that, we should be commissioned and we should be empowered every single time we come together. Do you know what? We walk without purpose and without power when we refuse to be unified and when we refuse to come together. Do you know what? Unity is realizing that there is a bigger picture than your perspective alone. Sometimes the personal has to give way to the eternal. You've sometimes got to realize there is more to it than what I think, than my personal perspective. There's more to it than that. And I want to challenge us this morning that actually if we're going to be unified, we need to realize that there's got to be more to it than that. The disciples were commissioned and empowered so that eternity could be affected. So that eternity could be affected. So I want to look this morning really quickly three ways in which the disciples were united. And then we're going to pray together. So there is going to be a response at the end of this. I'm letting you know that now. You can get ready for it. We're going to pray together. The first thing is that they were united in one place. They came together physically and they were totally present in every way. Do you know what? When we come together, we should be present, heart, body, and spirit. Yeah. When we come together, we should be present right now. We should be present in the things that we're doing. We should be present, not just physically here, but I want to really say to us, actually, as a church, we should be physically here every week that we can be. Because that's what Jesus left you two things when he left the earth. He left the Holy Spirit and he left the church. One is perfect, one is not. Holy Spirit, perfect. Church, not always. But when we come together, when we come together in one place, God has a chance to do something in us that he can't do in us when we stay at home or when we choose to do something else. We live in a society today where we want the church to be as liquid as everything else, and it isn't, and it's not going to be. And yes, we can sit and we can watch God TV, and I have a really bittersweet relationship with that. I love the fact that that God gets into people's homes. I absolutely love that. What I don't like is when Christians choose that over church. I have to be honest with that. I have a bit of sweet. It's okay because, you know, I watched God TV. No. You're missing the point of church. The point of church. And I love the fact that, you know, when I'm, you know, not able to be here for the next couple of weeks, I love the fact that I can get something from that. I love that. But actually, God never meant that to be church. He meant this to be church. And there's something in coming together. In coming together in one place, God's people together, there's something amazing when that happens. And I want to say to us this morning, on a Sunday morning, this is the place to be. Coming together in one place, we get something that we will never get from anything else. We live in a world that goes to places when it fulfills their needs, and when it doesn't, they retreat. When we give up being present, we'll lose something in God. When we give up being present and coming together like this, we lose something in God. The disciples went from being scattered to being in one place. And when we come together in whatever setting that might be, we are allowing ourselves to see beyond the differences and we're choosing to be united. I have differences with probably everyone in this room. There'll be differences in how I live, in what I do, in even maybe the way I see God. But you know what? I love that diversity. And that's okay. We don't have to agree. I don't have to agree with everybody to be united. Because actually unity is something that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not just something that comes from our opinions. Are we getting this morning? Yeah. I will find it incredibly difficult not to be in the house of God next Sunday. And I know that I just need to rest. I totally get that. And I'm going to do that. Okay? Because I don't want to have to go through any more medical procedures. So I'm going to do that. But I want you to know, I will find it hard not seeing you. I will find it hard not worshiping with you. And I will find it hard sitting at home. Well, I know you're all having the party in here. I will find it hard not being in a cafe with you all afterwards. Because there's something about the house of God. That verse that James read out this morning, you know, about loving, dwelling in the house of God. I have dwelt in the house of God since I was in my mother's womb. I love the house of God. I love being united. I love coming together in one place and lifting up the name of Jesus. So the first thing is that the disciples were together in one place. The second thing is that they were united with one purpose. There was one purpose why they were in the upper room, and that purpose was they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. Everybody there was waiting for the Holy Spirit. Everyone there was waiting for this thing that Jesus had promised. In Acts 1, verses 4 to 8, it says this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. This is Jesus talking. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They knew why they were there. They were in one place with one purpose. We are in here waiting for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we're going to go and be his witnesses. They knew exactly why they were where they were. Do you know what? We won't always see eye to eye on the what or the how, but we should always see eye to eye on the why. Why are we here? We may not always see eye to eye on how we outwork that, but on the why, that's a no-brainer. The church is to be the hope of the world. The church is to be the place where people are equipped, where we worship God together, where we break bread, and where we get ready for the week ahead. This is why we get together. We get together to praise Jesus. We get together to lift up his name. We get together to be taught and equipped. The why is not up for debate. The how Now that changes all the time. I can remember when I first became youth pastor here, and not everyone understood what I did. So we did crazy stuff with young people, like, why do you get a piece of tarpaulin, squirt washing up liquid on it, and chuck a load of young people on, and they fall and hurt themselves? Why do you do that? Why do you want money for a table tennis table? Why, you know, when we kind of, if we came in on a Friday night, why is this place an absolute tip? Why do you do what you do? Why? Not everyone saw why I did what I did, but this is the thing. Everyone saw the why behind it. And this is what happened. We got asked a lot of questions from different generations within this church when we first started to do youth ministry and kids ministry, and it all began to change. And everyone was like, well, why are you doing it like that? And why do you want this? And, you know, and they were really nice about it, but they didn't get the how. They didn't get what we did. And then all of a sudden, young people started to get to know Jesus. And they started to fill the rows in our church. And they started to fill sections in our church. And they started to raise their hands in worship. And they started to get baptized. And they started to love God. And they started to grow and to kind of mature as much as young people can do in their faith. And it was all absolutely brilliant. Do you know what? The questions about the what I was doing began to go when people got the why. We do this so that young people can get to know Jesus. And when people understood that, and we all had the same why, and you know what? I loved the generations in this church that I knew prayed for us every single Friday when we were about to do a schools ministry or youth clubs and stuff like that. And they didn't understand what we did. They didn't get it. You know, why do you need to do that? Why do you need music blaring out? Why do you need, you know, big screen video games and all of that? But they understood the why. And so because they understood the purpose of it, they got to the point where they weren't bothered about how we did it. They just wanted us to do it because of the why, because they wanted young people to find Jesus. I want to say to you this morning, actually, our unity is not in the how. You may come and watch what Paul and Liz do on a Friday night and go, oh my life, why are they doing that? You may not get the how, but the purpose needs to be the same. We need to get the purpose. We need to be united in purpose. We may not always be united in style. We may not always be united in the how. We may not always get it. But we're always going to be united in the purpose. And the purpose is so that people can get to know this Jesus that we know. Our purpose is to be equipped to grow and affect eternity as well as affect life here. The Great Commission hasn't changed, and God's way hasn't changed. It's still groups of people who meet in one place and are unified by one purpose. And that is this: go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. You'll be endued with power from on high, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, the purpose, we're united in the purpose. When we come together on Sunday, we come to worship and be equipped. How good would it be? I want to just throw this question out. How good would it be if we all came revved up for that? How good would it be if we all came, prayed up, ready to receive from God? Do you know what? That would revolutionize Sunday morning. Because it's not about lights and a stage and the band. And the band are great and all of this is great. But actually it's about you coming ready. United with one purpose. We're going to glorify Jesus this morning. Do you know what? We shouldn't have to go, come on, let's get into it. Let's get into the presence of God. Let's get into the worship. Let's raise our hands. We should be doing it. Why? Because we're united in one purpose. Yeah. We're here to praise him. We're here to lift him up. We're here to glorify him. And do you know what? The how isn't necessarily important. The song choice isn't important. All the songs are about Jesus. So let's get on with it. We're united in one purpose. And actually, if we came united in one purpose, it would revolutionize our time together. So they were united in one place. They came together. They were united in one purpose. And then thirdly, they were united with one power. The Holy Spirit is the one who will empower us for whatever he has for us. Do you know what? We access unity by being full of the Holy Spirit, not by changing our opinion. I can't be full of the Holy Spirit and in disunity with everybody. I can't be full of the Holy Spirit and arguing with everybody. When we are full of His power, then He brings unity with others. It's a spirit thing. And yes, sometimes I have to make a choice to go, okay, I'm going to come alongside and I'm going to decide to follow and I'm going to decide to do all of that. But actually, if I am full of the Holy Spirit, and that's what Lizzie's going to talk about next week, if I'm full of the Holy Spirit, actually, unity is a byproduct of being full of the Holy Spirit. When Peter preached on Pentecost and 3,000 people found Jesus, the power wasn't about Peter, but it was about everyone in one place with one purpose, being united with one power. Didn't matter who spoke, there was only one who would get the glory. You see, unity brings the power of God, and that changes lives. Unity is powerful. Unity is more powerful than being cool. Unity is more powerful than anything else. Actually, when we are full of the Holy Spirit and we are united, people will be attracted to that. I love the verse in John 13 that says, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples." That you what? That you love one another. That you're unified in one place, one purpose, and with one power. Do you know, I can remember when I was a teenager, I put up so many barriers to being full of the Holy Spirit. I was quite an introvert. And so I told God how He had to do it. Anyone else been there, done that? Okay. God, you have to do it this way because I don't want it done that way. And we were in youth camp and I was just sat on a chair. Everyone else was out the front and everyone else had them, you know, hands placed on them and all that. And I put all these barriers up and I can remember just sat there going, "God, forget everything that I've said about this. I am desperate for you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. So come on, however you want to do it. If you want me on the floor, if you want me, however you want to do it, God, you do it." I'd put all of these barriers up because I didn't like some of the ways that things were happening. But actually what I wanted was, "God, just fill me with the Holy Spirit." Because I know when you fill me with the Holy Spirit, there will be a new power that comes on me for me to do what you have called me to do. When we're united, the Holy Spirit is given a freedom to empower and to send us. But when we come divided, we're not as receptive and we don't create an atmosphere as receptive to the Holy Spirit. So I want to set Liz up this morning for next Sunday when she begins to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Because actually, if we come united, the Holy Spirit can break out and do amazing things. But we need to come united. I want to challenge you next Sunday, before coming to church, why not spend a few minutes in God's presence and say, "Okay, God, I'm ready. I am ready to go today. They are going to have an easy job, the people leading and all that, because God, I'm going ready with one purpose in one place. There's one Holy Spirit." And I'm praying that actually as Liz talks next week, that it kind of floods right back into our kids' area. Because it's not a baby Holy Spirit for the children. It's the same Spirit that wants to fill them as much as He wants to fill us. When we're united, the Holy Spirit is given freedom. So what blocks then unity? And then I'm going to finish. Things that block unity are things like our own agenda, our selfishness, a broken relationship with Jesus. We focus on what divides rather than what unites. There's a refusal to change. When we make unity about opinion other than about grace or Jesus, when there's a lack of grace in us for those around us, these are all blocks to unity. And I want to say to you this morning, I'm saying this and then I'm going off for 2 months, all right? If you have a problem, James is right here, okay? Do you know what? Unity is more powerful than anything else. Unity is what is going to make us different. Unity is what is going to bring in a move of the Holy Spirit. Unity, when we come together with one, in one place, with one purpose, just seeking one power. When we do that, the Holy Spirit falls and there is a freedom like we have never known. And God then blesses what we do. I want to read you some words from the Old Testament. It says this in Psalm 133. I'm reading from the Amplified version of the Bible. It says, "Behold, look, listen." That's what that word is meaning. "How good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil of consecration poured on the head, coming down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, coming down upon the edge of his priestly robes, consecrating the whole body. It is like the dew of Mount Hermon coming down the hills of Zion. For there," everyone say, "for there, the Lord has commanded a blessing." Where there is unity, God commands. He doesn't just speak it. He commands it. So in Genesis chapter 1, when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, at the sound of God's command, what wasn't there became into being. When God says this, it's that same, it's the command. It's that God isn't just kind of, you know, saying it might happen. God isn't saying, okay, hopefully. God says, actually, where there is unity, where people live together unified, where they realize it's a spiritual thing, it's not just an earthly thing, it's not just a human thing, when we realize actually we've got to mature in God to really be unified with other people, when we reach that level of unity, God commands blessing. He commands blessing. When we are unified, the whole body is consecrated or is set apart for the purpose, for purpose in the power of the Holy Spirit. God commands blessing. The cost of disunity, I want to tell you this morning, church, is high, and it will affect everything. So I want us to pray this morning. I want us to pray, and I want us to actually make a decision. And this isn't God, I'm making a decision to be unified. Because we all know that the moment we don't agree with someone, that's going to go out the window. This is the decision I want us to make this morning. This is what I've thought on all week, in fact, for the last 3 or 4 weeks putting this together. God, I make a decision that I'm going to love you enough. I'm going to love the bigger picture enough that I'm going to be united with those that you have put me with. God, and if I have to change, I'll change. And if I have to change, and if I have to change my opinions, if I have to change how I do things, God, I will change. But the cost of disunity is so high. Because if God commands blessing where there is unity, that commandment comes off when there's disunity. And we're not always going to agree with how everybody does everything. Let's just put that out there. Matt and I are married and we don't always do things the same way. And he's probably the person that I would be most unified with in the room, really. But sometimes we do things differently. We realize that when it came to how you build a house or how you parent. We do things slightly differently sometimes, but that's okay, because the bigger picture says we want to get our kids to 18 and we want them loving God and we want them ready to affect their world. And actually some of the little things don't always matter. What matters is the purpose in which we've come together to do. And so this morning I want to pray for us, and obviously I'm not going to be around for a while, but I want to pray that actually while I'm away that we really get to grips with this. It's not about do you like everything that everyone does. It's about there's a God who sent his son so that whoever calls on him will be saved. It's about coming together in one place with one purpose, being equipped by the one Spirit, as it said in Ephesians. It's about being unified. It's about choosing to do life with people sat in this room, some of who you will know well, some of who you won't. It's about making that step of going, actually, do you know what? I'm not going to wait for someone to come and get to know me. I'm going to go and get to know them. Because I'm in this. And so this morning, if you're saying, actually, God, I'm willing to mature a bit, that's not a patronizing statement to people who are older than me, because actually we've all got more, as long as there's breath in me, I can mature a bit more into what God wants me to be. We're going to come and say, God, I'm willing to mature a bit. I'm willing to put the bigger picture above my own agenda. I'm willing to change if I have to, because this is it. This is the church. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm going to do life. This is where I'm going to be unified. Whether we agree all the time or we don't, unity is something that comes from the Spirit of God, and it's maintained in us through the Spirit of God. So actually, God, I'm coming this morning going, I want to stay full of you, because if I stay full of you, unity is going to be something that is a byproduct of that. That's you this morning. I just want you to stand where you are. And it's with me, because I would be the first one to get on my feet. Because actually, disunity, for me, it costs way too much. Because there's 20,000 people in our town that need us. God commands a blessing where there's unity. So this morning, we make a choice. God, help me. Help me be unified. Help me be someone who is full of you. Who's full of the Holy Spirit. Father God, thank you for your house. Thank you for every person this morning making a choice. And God, the choice doesn't make us unified. But God, the choice is, I'm willing to do my part, and I'm willing to do what it takes on my part to make sure there is a blessing commanded over this house. And so, Lord God, I pray for everybody on their feet. Father, I pray for everyone who is responding right now, that Holy Spirit, that you will come and you will just begin to work on us. Well, let's raise our hands. If you're stood, let's just raise our hands. God, will you come, Holy Spirit, right now, and will you just fall afresh on us? Holy Spirit, will you come, and will you just rain down on us this morning? Because God, unity is something, Father God, that we all need to work through. It's something that we all have failed in at some point, Father God. It's something that we have all found difficult at some point. And so, Lord God, I pray this morning that you will help us, that you will be with us, and that, Father God, as we grow together, as we come together in one place with one purpose, and as God, as your Holy Spirit fills us and matures us, Father God, I pray that, God, we will see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that changes lives, not just ours, but in the community that is around us. Father God, we ask you to come and do something incredible in us. Lord, I pray today, Lord, for anyone in here, Lord, who at the moment has got an offense with someone else in here, Lord, I pray you'll begin to sort it all out. Father God, I pray that you'll begin to break down barriers. Holy Spirit, that you'll begin to break down barriers and you'll begin to do something in us and through us, Father. Lord, I pray, and I'm going to get you guys that are standing to repeat this, okay? I want you to repeat this. As much as it depends on me, I choose to live in peace and be unified with those that God has placed me with. Amen. Amen. This week, let's make sure that we do everything we can. I said, being full of the Holy Spirit helps us, you know, to cultivate this unity. Let's do all that we can to be full of God and to be full of the Holy Spirit this week. And then when you come back together next week, one place, one purpose, one power, it's going to be absolutely incredible. I can't wait to hear what God does next Sunday through what Liz is going to bring to you. So let's make sure we come ready. One place, one purpose, one power. Thank you.